Who is standing behind you? Who's standing behind you? From the scripture, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." What are your concerns? Where is your consciousness resting right now? What are you preoccupied with? What's in the forefront of your thinking? If one were to reflect upon your current disposition, what's that emotion behind what's going on for you right now? What is fueling your current state of mind, your current disposition? If your disposition were a person, who might that be? Who might be standing behind you or in front of you calling you forth? We are so driven by people in our lives, and often we're not aware of the fact that these people drive our decisions, our actions, and in many cases we look to them to determine how we feel. There have been times when we've all met with a rather unscrupulous salesperson, and we couldn't get to that point where we could wash our hands quick enough or use some sort of hand sanitizer shortly after shaking theirs. We often refer to these as sleazy people or sleazy encounters, but you get the point. We are driven by people in so many ways, and we're not always aware of it. We're not always conscious of it. In many ways, we wind up being functional puppets, dancing to the instructions of some other person pulling the strings. Even though that sleazy person might have their agenda and we're aware of it, their presence, their behavior is driving how we act. And we often do not realize how powerful that is. And we certainly don't pay attention to how and why we change our behaviors under different circumstances. Many years ago, when I first started college, I was smoking. I was a smoker. And when I was with friends at college, smoking was a non-issue. You would just light up, you'd have your cigarette. It was like nothing. You'd light up and have a cigarette anywhere. However, when I would come home for breaks or for vacations, I never smoked in the presence of my parents. It wasn't until my mother confronted me that she could tell that I was smoking by the smell, by the odor and stench in my clothes, that totally bothered her and turned her off, and she confronted me. Shortly after, I stopped smoking. But the point is, we have different behaviors in front of different audiences. We have different behavior in front of different audiences. We modify who we are and how we show up depending on what's going on out there with others. And that behavior, those switches in who we are, actually reflect our priorities and what's important to us. We can tell quite a bit just by observing people. We can tell quite a bit about their priorities. It may not be realized, but our priorities and our aspirations actually speak for us. They show up before we do. They're present even before we can articulate them. A favorite line often heard from my mother was, "What you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying." We may profess to be committed to one thing, but our actions say something else. We might say we're committed to smoking, but then we say, I'll quit right after my last cigarette. Notice that's really not a commitment. Or, I'll start losing weight right after the holidays. And there's always some holiday on the horizon at any given time. What really drives us and what motivates us is reflected in our actions. Forget what we say. We can tell more about a person by what they do. And what we do, our actions, that's a reflection of our priorities. Often our priorities are replaced, misplaced by distractions, annoyances, and we forget the very things that we intend to address. Our priorities often take a back seat to something that pops up as a surprise. And it makes you wonder, was it really our priority? Was it really that important? From the scripture, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And on the third day he would be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. How can this happen? This must never happen to you. Jesus was clear on his mission, his calling, and what was in his future. He knew that he was here to fulfill a purpose and to serve a larger good. He was confronted by Peter, who pleaded with him to deny his calling, put that aside, and stay around for a while. From one vantage point, one can see how this might be seen as selfish on Peter's part. And yet, Jesus stood by his calling. In taking this stand, Jesus had to tell Peter to step aside. He actually called Peter Satan, which was probably a nice way of suggesting that Jesus used a not-so-nice expletive to put Peter in his place. Although, using the word or calling Peter Satan is actually strong enough. And we can see the parallels in our lives today. We know what the world would have us do or how the world would have us behave, but we also know we have a higher calling. We also know that there are greater goods. We do live in a dog-eat-dog, cutthroat, tough business world. In that context, many believe that they have to win. We're here to win. But at what cost? These folks also believe that winning is always at the expense of others. Such predatory, opportunistic, aggressive behavior is admired by many. That's not the way of our higher spiritual calling. The nature of our higher calling doesn't operate inside that context. That's not what serves others or serves ourselves. And that's what Jesus heard from Peter when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. So, who's that standing behind you? What is the order of your priorities? Have you ordered your life such that you can define winning? Is winning by your definition at the expense of others or in service to others, in service to life itself? Are you Satan like Peter in that moment with Jesus? Or are you clear on your calling? Jesus knew he was about to meet his doom. He was preparing those around him for his departure. And Peter couldn't conceive of that departure. He wasn't comfortable with it. He didn't want that to be an option. But further in that conversation, Jesus asks, for what will it profit them if they gain the whole world and forfeit their lives? Or what will they give in return for their life? We're facing that very same question. What would you give in return for your life? At the cost of winning the world, what would you give in return for your life? So check your priorities. Who is that standing behind you? Is it God or is it Satan? God bless.